Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Well, that prayer is taken from the Common Book of Prayer, but I do seek to make it my own, our own, here this morning. Suppose one of you told your child to do his homework and mow the lawn. And immediately, your child gets to work, gets the lawnmower out, and gets started. So you go about your evening. Now, this might just go with me here on imagination. Your child goes all out, okay? They mow the lawn. They mow it in like two directions. So it has that like pattern like you see in the outfield of a baseball stadium. They get the weed whacker out, and they go around all the trees in the house. And I don't know if you guys do this. My grandfather used to have an edger to go along the sidewalk and the bushes and the flowers in the front to dress up the edges of the lawn. They do all this, and by 9 o'clock, they're out there. They got the Miracle-Gro sprayer attached to the hose, and they're watering down your lawn. Shortly after this, they collapse into bed and fall asleep, exhausted. The next morning, you get up, you get your cup of coffee, you're headed to the door to get your paper. You open up the door, and you see your lawn, and you're amazed. I mean, it's perfect. The attention to detail, you can't believe it. You turn to enter the house, and by the door, right where it's been since yesterday afternoon, where your child dropped it, is their book bag. Or suppose at work. Suppose Eric shows up. He gets to the bank. And the place is a mess. There's dirt all over the floor. There's crumbs because somebody was eating a snack up at the counter, something I'm sure you're not supposed to do. And there's papers everywhere. Things a mess. So he gets, you know, being the diligent, hardworking employee that Eric is, he gets the vacuum. He starts vacuuming the floors. He cleans off the counter, puts the papers away. He's even got one of those little things for cleaning out the keyboard, cleaning the dust out of the keyboard. He goes so far as to straighten and line up all the cash he's got in his cash drawer. Then the manager walks out of the office and sees a line from Eric's station going around the corner and out the door. The lesson for today is about priorities. It's especially about our first priority. Doing your chores so well is great, but not at the expense of neglecting your homework. Likewise, it would be appreciated if Eric went that extra mile to really neaten up and clean up at work, but not at the expense of serving customers. My examples were inspired by one that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. While there are many things that we could be doing, even many good things, only one thing is necessary. And this one thing must not be neglected. It takes priority over all else. Let's read Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. I'll read. You can follow along in your own copy of the Scriptures if you're using the Pew Bible. It's page 1028. I didn't check the large print. Sorry if anybody's using that. I'll be reading from the updated New American Standard Version, Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village. I should say this is Jesus and his disciples, since we're starting in the middle of the chapter here. Jesus and his disciples are traveling along. He entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." We know from a comparison with John's gospel that the village Jesus and his disciples have visited is Bethany, a village just outside of Jerusalem. And the two women in the story are the sisters of Lazarus, whom Jesus will later raise from the dead. One of the sisters, Mary, is also well known for anointing Jesus with very costly perfume for his burial before he was crucified. The scene is fairly simple in verse 38. Jesus and his disciples are traveling and are in need of hospitality. Since Martha welcomes them into her home, we can understand that she is the mistress of the home. This is her home, and perhaps she was a widow. We also know that these are good people. They're upright people because they're meeting the needs of these travelers. In verse 39, we meet Mary. It says, she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. Sitting at the Lord's feet, this is the language of discipleship. It can even be used figuratively to say seating at someone's feet. It's used in Acts talking about Paul and the rabbi that he was under. It says literally that he sat at his feet, but if you look in the NIV or the New American Standard, it will say that he was a disciple of this rabbi. So the language is that of teacher and disciple. And Mary is seen sitting at the feet of Jesus. What a remarkable scene this is for the first century Jewish context that we read it in this morning. Luke, throughout his writings, demonstrates the importance of women in both the Lord's ministry and in the early church, which is in stark contrast to the Jewish rabbis of the time, who would not teach women and even regarded the exercise of teaching women as futile. But Jesus offers us a corrective to this wrong thinking by welcoming this woman, Mary, to sit at his feet and learn. He even commends her in a couple verses for her eagerness to learn. And she's our example here this morning. Notice what Mary is doing at the feet of Jesus. She is listening to his word. That is what it is to sit at his feet. To be a disciple means to give yourself to one's teaching, to one's instruction. It is this attention given to Jesus' word that Jesus himself calls the good part in verse 42. Jesus tells us that the one necessary thing is to sit at his feet and learn from him. What does it mean for us today to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and listen to his word? Just as Jesus spoke to Mary, he's spoken to us. His words have been recorded in the Bible. He's preserved this book for us, and he speaks to us through this book. We have a great advantage over Mary. It wasn't every day that Jesus was passing by Bethany and could stop in and sit at her house and her to sit at his feet to listen to him teach. But we can sit at the feet of Jesus whenever we open this book and earnestly read to hear from him. We find ourselves at his feet. When we are instructed by God through his word, when we understand what is written in his word, we are illumined. Pastor Jim has explained what illumination is through an illustration, talking about how the Holy Spirit doesn't shine a light down on the text and speak to us and tell us what the text is, like in our ear, but shines his light through the word and speaks to us through his word. That's what illumination is. I found that to be a good illustration. And that's what it is to sit at the feet of Jesus for us today, to read his word and to hear from him. Also, when we come here on Sunday mornings to worship God, to sing his praises, to bring him our offerings, to worship him, we also come to hear his word as proclaimed by a servant who has studied diligently and sought the Lord for the meaning of the text and comes to share it with us. Our attention to God's word has to be our top priority. It is the one necessary thing. Well, what about Martha? Look back at the text with me at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to Jesus and said, well, we'll get to that in a minute. I want to focus right now that it says that Martha was distracted. while Mary sat at his feet. In contrast, Martha was distracted with all her preparations. It's not a good thing to be distracted. The word has negative connotations. The Greek word here translated distracted means to be pulled or dragged away. The implication is that Martha wished to hear Jesus, but was prevented from doing so by the pressure of providing hospitality. Now, it's not wrong to show hospitality. I'm surprised Dale hasn't raised his hand or challenged me on this yet from what we talk about in Sunday school. Of course it's not wrong to show hospitality, and we've been learning about that from James and the importance that is to the working out of our faith. It's commended in the Scriptures. Even in the text we look at this morning, if you look at the parable that precedes the passage we're reading, it's a parable of the Good Samaritan. It's all about serving others and showing hospitality. So what's the problem here? The problem is one of priorities. Serving others is good, but learning from Jesus is the one necessary thing. The greatest commandment and the supreme good is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Just as the Good Samaritan provides us an example of obeying that second commandment, Mary is our example for obeying the first. As we have been learning in Sunday school, which, by the way, is another great way to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from Him, is to attend the Sunday school. We've learned that genuine faith must, by its nature, lead to action, to obedience to the royal law. But in our actions, we must keep the one necessary thing, our top priority. And this, too, the one necessary thing of sitting at the feet of Jesus, is part of the obedience that accompanies our genuine faith. So Martha was distracted, verse 40, and she says to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." Now, both Martha's words and Jesus' response in verse 41 reveals that the Lord does indeed care for Martha. Martha, Martha. But he cannot do what she asks. And he explains why in verses 41 and 42. Read with me. The text says, "But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Jesus says that Martha is worried. The original word means to be unduly concerned. It often expresses a worldly attitude which is due to unbelief and which can divert a person's attention away from a proper concern for the things of God. How often are we unduly concerned and worried? How will we pay our bills? How will my sermon be received? As a church, we worry about our numbers, how many people are coming to church. Now, I'm not suggesting that we do not need to be prudent and diligent in our efforts to do what is right and to take care of our affairs, but in the end, we must trust God for the results. If we have faith, there is no room to be worried. Remember the reading from Matthew earlier in the service, where Jesus commands us. He doesn't tell us that we don't have to be anxious. He commands us not to be anxious. Jesus also says that Martha is bothered about so many things. This refers to her excessive preparations for the meal. Even in doing things for God, even in serving Jesus, things that are obviously good, it is possible to neglect the one necessary thing. How's that so? How does that look in our lives? Well, we are busy about so many things. Being good employees, working hard, maybe means staying late. Taking your children to sports practice and drama, being a good parent. Helping a neighbor, perhaps with some household repairs or cleaning or something because they aren't able. Serving on a committee at church or maybe even two. All these are good things. There's some not so good things that keep us busy. I've heard that the average American watches 3 hours of television a day. I don't know that I could swing that. I don't think I could schedule that. But certainly, there's things like that in all of our lives that we could do without. Do we make spending time in God's Word our top priority in our busy days? Now, it's time for a confession from me. It's at this point in the message, even writing these words, that I am most convicted. I know that the top priority has not been my top priority. Perhaps it was, and it needs to get back up there. I need it to be, we all need it to be our top priority. Even as a church body, we must ask ourselves, is the one necessary thing our top priority? When we plan events, when we meet as committees, do we give priority to sitting at the feet of Jesus? Now, I know that we have a lot to do. Sitting on a committee at a church, that's something that's brand new for me. But I can already see that there's a lot to do. I'm not saying that studying God's Word is the only thing on the agenda. But even when we, or rather, in support of that, even when we have Bible studies, they're for the express reason of studying God's Word. And yet, that's not the only thing we do. We spend a lot of time fostering fellowship, sharing life with one another, maybe sharing a meal. So I recognize that those things are good things and also are things we have on the agenda, things that we need to do. But the point is about priorities. The other things are good, but only one thing is necessary. We cannot make time for all the rest and somehow fail to make time for listening to God, for reading His Word, and for sitting at His feet. I think we could all do better reflecting the necessity to do this in all aspects of our lives, both privately and corporately. We all need to spend time in God's Word daily, every day. I mean, I would challenge if it's something that we haven't been doing, that, I mean, 15 minutes out of 24 hours, if our faith is that we believe that Jesus Christ is God, that there is God and there is one God, and He has created us, He has a purpose for us, and He's spoken to us in His Word, we got to spend some time seeking Him on what He would have for us, what He's said to us about how to live our lives in His Word. When we meet as committees, or even the adult fellowship when we get together, when the P's and Q's get together, or whatever, could we find time for a short devotional? If we meet as deacons for an hour and a half, which probably stretches to closer to two most times, maybe we can find 10 minutes where we could take turns sharing something from the Word of God. You will all have to decide as individuals and as groups how to live this message out in your lives. I can only offer some ideas I've had or make some suggestions. Jesus says in verse 42, but only one thing is necessary. The implication for Martha is that rather than be worried and bothered about so many things, like it said in 41, rather than preparing such an elaborate meal for Jesus, she should be content with serving a more simple meal and join Mary at His feet. I've heard someone refer to this passage and say, we need both Marys and Marthas. We can't all be Marys. But that's not the Lord's point here at all. Here, Mary is our example. She's commended to us. Martha is rebuked. Now, actions and service have their place, but don't look for it in this text. You can look to the second greatest commandment, the parable of the Good Samaritan, Micah 6:8, or James. James is speaking right to that. But to look for it in this text comes from a misunderstanding of the text. In contrast to the Roman Catholic religion, we don't see this text as exalting the contemplative life over a life of action. And that's sort of the assumption when somebody says, we need Marys and Marthas. They're worried that the text is saying, we're all going to go lock ourselves in ivory towers. But that's not what the text says at all. Instead, it indicates the proper way to serve Jesus. One serves Jesus by listening to his word rather than by providing excessively for his needs. It's about loving God first and above all, about making it our top priority to sit at his feet and learn from him. So we don't need Mary's and Martha's. We need people who make the one necessary thing of listening to God's word their top priority. And these same people need to, as James says, prove themselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Jesus finishes verse 42 saying, "For Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her." Mary chose that which is better. She chose to sit at Jesus' feet listening to his word instead of joining Martha preparing an elaborate meal. It is a choice that we should all make. It was a choice that Jesus gave to Martha. The rebuke is also an encouragement to correction. Only one thing is necessary. The food is it's enough. Come and join Mary and sit at my feet and learn from me. And those who make this choice, as we must not have it taken away. The Lord makes it clear it would be wrong for Martha or anyone else to deprive Mary this opportunity to learn from the Lord, even for the sake of service. You would not be happy with your children who neglected their homework for the sake of their chores. No boss would be happy with Eric or anyone else who neglected their duties for straightening up the office. Our Heavenly Father is not pleased when we are distracted, worried, and bothered by our efforts to serve, forgetting our top priority, the one necessary thing, sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word. That's the conviction of my heart, the exhortation to myself, and I share it with you this morning. To keep the one necessary thing our top priority. Let's pray. Father, what an awesome privilege you give us in your word to sit at your feet and to learn from you. How can we not make this our top priority when it should be our greatest joy? We do not love you as we ought, and our faith is weak. Father, we ask for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to create in us the proper affection for you and trust in your ways. Father, show us where our lives are out of balance. And make our top priority the one necessary thing. We pray this in the name of your Son, our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.